LBW. Oh, he's got him. That's well run, or is it? Oh, a fielder. That's out. That's got to be out. That's beautifully done.
What a great effort. That's unbelievable. That is sensational.
Now, this will be interesting.
Short, fine legs.
Hey, welcome to Short Fine Legs, the cricket podcast that, like David Miller, always comes back after a prolonged period with the promise that this time, things will be better. My name is Daniel Gallen, and I'm delighted to once again be joined by Lions all-rounder Nono Pongolo. Nons, quite a lot has happened since we last spoke. Momentum One Day Cup, two tests between South Africa and Pakistan, now a T20 match between South Africa and Pakistan. But before we get to all of that, how are you on a personal level?
Hello, bud. All good, thanks. And I hope you are. I know you've been doing a lot of work carrying us forward in my time of absence. So thank you to you. It's been really good. It's been a lot of good cricket to have watched. And it's nice to actually watching a lot of cricket on our screens. But I had to focus on our domestic matters, which was a really difficult bubble, but a really cool tournament. And yeah, it was really nice to be on the half right side of that tournament, of course, because we joint chairers of that tournament with the Dolphins, which was disappointing in the end. I thought we were really in a strong position, but focusing on matter at hand, I think. Proteas cricket is watching the almost like the franchise 11 type of squad given opportunity. It's been really exciting. I'm a big fan of watching our guys being given opportunities, and especially at international level, to showcase what we have. So it's really, really exciting to have watched those guys have a crack at international level.
Before we get to as you say, this almost franchise 11, some people are being glib and calling it a B team, as if representing your country requires the winning of a lottery ticket, as if these guys didn't get there because they deserve to be there and given a chance. And let's also not forget that they only lost by, what was it, 3-4 runs. So it's not like they got a pace. But let's talk about the test series. It was disappointing, wasn't it? I don't think people got too carried away with the Sri Lanka series win on home soil. I think people understood that it was a walking wounded Sri Lankan team that were out of their depth in foreign conditions. But I did expect South Africa to put up a bigger fight. They lost the first test by 7 wickets and the second by 95 runs, especially because in both games they were in strong positions to possibly win it. What was your take of the performance in Pakistan?
Yeah, I mean, I always tried to be quite measured in how I look at these tours. I mean, especially it's our first tour to Pakistan in a very, very long time. Of course, playing spin has been our nemesis for a while as well. So there's been a lot of things that I needed to be careful. We just came from a lockdown. A lot of guys have been playing cricket. So I'm not giving excuses, but I was quite like measured in terms of what I think they could get out of it. Watching the last innings, so second innings of the last test, that's what honestly gave me hope in terms of game plan, what they were looking to do, how they worked out playing the spinners. And, everyone had a game plan. How the team was approaching the innings was very exciting for me. And it's kind of like, ask yourself, why didn't they do that from the word go? Because you know exactly what you're going to expect in those conditions. And Mark Boucher has been there before. If you fail playing in a certain way, having certain game plans, I would understand that. So that was almost like disappointing, but at the same time, it's a positive. Happy that Aidan Markram has got his 100. I think it's very exciting to have him back on top there with Dean scoring runs. I think we keep talking about the opening stand, how essential it is at Test cricket. And it was good to see glimpses of positivity from Temba. I think he would have given himself a really positive start to the season. And I think there's more to come from there. And then outside of that, there's a lot of worries in terms of the confidence of other players, especially the batters, where they are in terms of scoring runs. Quinton de Kock, you could see the burden that the captaincy has brought to him. And we should free him up from that. I think there's a really exciting player there. And I think if we just take away all these responsibilities away from him in test level, I think you will see a really quality cricketer. I mean, he wasn't a player of the year for no reason season ago, for no reason. I think he's shown his class. And I think we're so quick to forget that as fans that, you know, one could have a couple of bad games. It's part and parcel of the game. But I think what he offers to our team, I think, is really exciting. So, yeah, for me, there's plenty of negatives, but at the same time, there was glimpses of the way, the model of the style we could play going forward in the subcontinent. And I think South Africa should really keep an eye on that second innings and the second test of how they approach the game. And I think if we take that model going forward, I think we could have some really positive players in the subcontinent going forward.
You know, a lot of people have been asking if this was the right team, but I'm looking at the team now that played in that series. Aiden Markram and Dean Elgar, I think, picked themselves. I think Rusty van der Dussen has earned the right to keep that number three spot. I think Faf du Plessis' experience at number four is merited. Temba Vuma at number five. Look, maybe Temba has made a case that he should bat a little higher. Possibly, you know, he's certainly shown the temperament, but 4 or 5, I don't think there's much difference. I think Quinton Dunn at 6, I like that. I prefer that. And as you say, he is South Africa's best batsman when in form. Then you got the all-rounders and the bowlers. So I don't think it's necessarily a personnel change. And I think that's an important thing to touch on. And I'd like to get your point of view from the player's perspective. When you're someone like Quinton de Kock, when you're someone like Dean Elgar, when you're someone like Faf du Plessis, whoever it is who was yesterday's hero and is today's villain, what's that like for a player? Do you look at the social media and the comments on online and in newspaper inches and say, geez, what is going on here? Why have people responded to this to this one failure in this way, or even one bad series? Or is it quite easy to brush off because you know that, you know, there's undulations and ups and downs?
I just want to quickly divert to your first point before I get back to responding to as a player and the public, the response to the public. I mean, we talk about the batting lineup. I think we have to be, the second test I thought it was much better. We've got Temba who was moved up to 5, which I always think, you know, to give responsibility to the batters. Temba is an out and out batter in the team. He should be given that responsibility. He is one of our quality players of spin. Him and Faf du Plessis, I think, are stand-up players against a spinning ball. And I would have thought that would have given those guys more responsibility in terms of blunting out the attacks earlier than just waiting for wickets to fall. And that was almost my question. Maybe we could have done differently. I look at how England always approaches the subcontinent tours. Completely different. We saw Johnny Bairstow completely out of the team and coming back and batting at 3. Or in the Sri Lankan leg of the subcontinent tour. And you see Dan Lawrence coming out of nowhere and being given a shot at 3. And that's the type of thinking that we need to have in South Africa. I feel that sometimes we're very much rigid in terms of our approach. We've got our team that plays in all the conditions. It doesn't necessarily mean the team is going to be good in all conditions around the world. We had a team in the past led by Graham Smith that could adjust to any conditions in the world. And they became one of the best touring sides in the world. And I don't think as a country we are there to be almost using the same batting lineup in all the conditions around the world. And I think maybe in our thinking and an approach, I think if we had to draw up a list of best spin players in the country, and I would definitely tell you that, for example, Keegan Peterson, we had, it will be up there. Temba's definitely there. You've got Faf definitely there. And those are the guys that you almost want to consider as well, even though they might not have played a lot of cricket for the Proteas, but you'd say, in terms of the conditions that we're in, who are the best players to give us the best possible results in these conditions? And that type of thinking for me, I think, would serve us better going forward rather than just taking... I thought that was a high-fall team, to be honest. Most of those guys played their cricket in the high fault, and we're kind of not giving them the best opportunities to perform in the subcontinent. And if you consider where spinning conditions are in South Africa, I have to say it's the coastal conditions in South Africa, your Warriors, your Dolphins, Those are the places where it generally spends more than the other places in the country. So I think we need to have that type of thinking in mind going forward, so that we do give almost like horses for courses type of players that can give us better results going forward. Because I don't believe right now we have your AB, your Graham Smith, your Jacques Callis, your Hashim Amlers, the guys that always adapted their games to particular conditions. So yeah, that's that first part of that question. Second part is, I mean, I think these guys have been through so much in their lives that they know that, you know, you can't just every time you have a bad run of form, you look at your social. Everyone, especially South Africa, we know how critical we are about our players. It's almost like you said, Faf du Plessis scored 199 before this tour, and all of a sudden he doesn't have a great start, and he was an integral part of us doing well in the series, but he doesn't score the runs that we want him to. We can't now all of a sudden bash him because he's had a not so great start to that. And I, like I said as well, Quinton is one of our world class players, and it's unfortunate sometimes that I thought he was the right candidate at the time to be. It's easier to give it to him rather than almost give it to the other guys. And it obviously hasn't worked out, but that still doesn't mean he's not a quality player. And I just think that it's important for the coaches to keep reminding them how good they are. It's important for them to remember how good they are. And it's important for Quinton de Kock to keep playing the positive brand that he offers our team. I think, you know, he nicked off in the second innings and a lot of people questioned the shot. But for me, I'd rather see Quinton de Kock failing his way than being timid. I thought we saw a timid Quinton de Kock in the first match. And I don't want to see a timid Quinton de Kock, because what he offers, I think he is similar to Joss Butler, what he offers England, Ben Stokes, those type of players, positive punts. Those are positive cricketers that when it doesn't work out, it looks horrible. We have to admit, it does look horrible. But when it works out, you see what a punt did. It almost changed the momentum of the game. So we have to keep backing them, showing how good they are. And again, ignore a lot of what's happening on social media. I'm sure they know that by now. And of course, there's such an important responsibility of the management team, just reminding them how really good they are.
Spoke about Quinton, and I guess if we have to find one major talking point from the Test series, it's the captaincy of Quinton de Kock. I'd like to go back to the timing of it.
Yeah.
Do you see much sense in announcing that Quinton was not going to be captain in the middle of a series? Because quite frankly, Quinton kind of had the vibe. I mean, look, I'm only watching on TV and I wasn't talking to him, and it's easy to paint my own narrative and hang it on something that I've seen as my own, as my perception that might not have been there. But my perception was that he did look disinterested in that second test. He looked like a man who knows that this was going to be his last week at work. We all know what that looks like. Someone who's already been transferred, who knows that no matter what he does, he's going to get paid for that week and he's out. I'm not saying Quinton de Kock wasn't I'm not saying Quinton de Kock wasn't trying, but it did seem like he lacked something. I mean, what was the point of announcing that he was going to be leaving in the middle of the series?
Yeah, I also question it. I mean, the same way when they announced him that he'll only be captain for this part of the season, and you're almost leaving the door open for media to come in if it doesn't work out and things like that. And I think it wasn't the greatest of moves from the word go when they announced them. I think they opened up that door. And again, when it wasn't working out, and you could see that it was a lot of pressure on him to make the right decision, to work, to focus on his batting, keeping, there's a lot. And I just felt that, again, that was part of things that you keep internally, that Quinton de Kock, I think by the end of this series, will relieve you from the pressures of the captaincy. Focus on your batting and your keeping. It should have been internal for me. And again, especially when you're looking to draw the series, win the test match, the second test match, you want everyone talking about the match, focused on the match, not having certain conversations being brought to the surface that are not going to aid the team in helping winning the game. And I just felt that they gave all of us some talking points before the game. And yeah, I think we need to do better in terms of how we manage these issues from our point of view. Because again, it didn't look great. I have to be honest, it didn't look great on TV, especially when every commentator is almost like hashing on it every time something wasn't working out. But again, it's important. I don't know how much of a responsibility was on the senior team, a senior group of players, and helping him and making sure that it wasn't just on him. Because for me, it's always a reflection as well on the entire senior team. Your captain shouldn't just be left out there to almost like he's there to on his own. And I think we could have done a little bit more as well from a senior's point of view to look after him. And make sure that it's not just that maybe you handle certain media post-match interviews, so that it's not just on him as well. So yeah, it's a very difficult one for me to fully answer, but I do honestly believe it could have been handled better, so that the team would have been focused on just the results of drawing the series, and there were positive signs that they could have done that. But I'm not sure if the entire energy of the team would have been in that particular push for that result.
Do you think it's the right decision? Are we right to because I am South African cricket, and so are you. Is it right that Quinton Kok has been unburdened? I mean, is this even the right terminology? Was he the right captain? And who becomes captain? I mean, we're kind of back to where we started in the sense that we've learned nothing. This experiment, if that's what it was, has failed. It certainly hasn't. It probably hasn't lasted. As if it was an experiment, a short term thing. I certainly imagine that they anticipated that it would last longer than this. Where to now?
I think we have learned something. For example, Quinton de Kock, I think, is really good for our Whitehall captaincy. I think he offers us a lot there. And I think they needed to see, unfortunately, if he would handle the extra pressures of it. I think he is the only candidate for South African cricket right now that would be in the side because he's a good player, he was in form, and of course the fact that he was already captain in the white ball side of white ball teams, it was kind of the easier transition to give it to him, rather than Adam Ockham was coming back, he wasn't in the team, he needed to look after himself in terms of his form, Temba needed to look after himself in his form. There wasn't an obvious candidate except maybe for Dean, who's in there. And yes, he could secure, but is that a long term plan? I think that would have been the only question mark around D. So
yeah, but Quinton lasted how many?
Yeah, 100%.
You know, so
100%. Exactly.
And they said it was temporary.
Yes, that's the part where I also don't understand, is that you know that he didn't want it, and you were giving it to him because you felt that was the safest place to go. So you're supposed to at least back him in the media, show him the signs that, you know, he doesn't want this, but at the same time, we want him. So we need to show him that at least he's the candidate we're going to support for the foreseeable future, and do everything that you can to protect him. And I don't think they did that. And that's the part that baffles me, to be honest, because it's just like, it was your obvious candidate, but at the same time, you didn't do everything that you could to protect him and give him the best possible platform to perform his duties.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. It's like, yeah, carry this for us, but we're not going to help you lift it at all. We're not going to give you the platform to stand on. Let's see. It's almost like you're just tossing a baby into the deep end and saying, well, can you sink or swim? So you didn't answer my question, though. Where do we go from here? Who is the captain?
It's gone back to three candidates. I'll be honest. I'll say Dean, Temba, and Aiden. I'll say it's between those three. I'm not going to narrow it down any further.
Look, 100 doesn't make a batsman, but I think Aiden Markram is a very impressive record, and I think he's silenced a lot of critics. Is now the time to give him the captaincy, though? It's like, you've just scored 100. Here you go. Be the captain. I mean, Temba too. You know, Temba's probably thinking, okay, well, I've moved to five. I've finished as with a pretty good series in foreign conditions. I'm probably feeling a lot more confident in my game. Do we want him to be captain? If anything, I think Dean Elgar, his average, I think it's fair to say his average series probably makes him the guy best equipped to do it, because he's not coming in with now this extra burden of expectation. He's already gone through ups and downs in his career. I feel like Temba and Aiden are just on the upswing. Let's not weigh them down while they're climbing.
I have to agree with you, because if you look at our test batting lineup, we want Aiden to do well, score runs, score plenty of runs for South Africa going forward. And I think if Aiden is scoring runs, South Africa are going to be in really good positions. And I think we're going to dominate a lot of games. If Temba is scoring runs, we know that we're having even more big partnerships in the middle. We're going to make it difficult for opposition. And you want the top five to be solid and almost guaranteed runs. And at the moment, like you say now, they're starting to be on a positive path. And all of a sudden, we're almost doing the same thing that we've done to Quinton de Kock. And that's my worry as well. Now, well, we saw that we've lost one of our quality players through that responsibility in that series. And again, the other question is, if you look at, again, Dean Elgar, will still be another short-term scenario similar to a Quinton de Kock. But do you say we give, again, two more seasons so that Temba and Aiden are in a better place? Or I really don't have any straightforward answers at the moment. That's how difficult it is, because I want our batting lineup to be firing at all cylinders. And if that means we're not giving them extra responsibilities for the time being, I think that'll be, the best way forward. But some people might say they might just step up even more if they give them that responsibility. So I'm glad that I'm just a guy sharing his views on a podcast. I'm not Graham Smith and Mark Boucher. But I think this one is going to be the most important decision going forward in South African cricket, because, especially in our test side, because we need to get it right. We don't have another shot at it. We can't have another year or two kind of trying to figure out who's going to be our best. But I think, those three for me, I think that's where the answer would lie at the time. I know you've mentioned Keshav, and like we've spoken highly of him as well at the time. But again, I'm not sure if South Africa will always commit to not playing a spinner, and that's always going to be that question mark. So, yeah, I can't give you a definitive answer, unfortunately, to that, but I think it's going to be a really important decision.
Cheers. No, thanks. This is why we organized the podcast, for this incisive insight and hot takes. And the thing is that they don't have any room for experimenting, do they? I think they now, with Australia pulling out, I stand to be corrected, but I think their next test series is at the very end of the year at home to India. You know, Virat Kohli's going to come in with some heat. They lost last time they won South African soil. I think after winning in Australia for the second time, they're going to want to prove that they can win in quote unquote foreign conditions. And I think South Africa definitely represents I wouldn't say an Everest, but certainly a mountain that they'd be keen to summit. Surmount? Anyway, let's move on to the T20 cricket. As I said, South Africa lost that first match by 3 runs with a team that a lot of people rightly or wrongly called second stringers. Yanneman Malan, Reeza Hendricks, Jacques Snyman, David Miller, Heinie Claassen, captain and keeper, Andile Pechlakwaya, Dwayne Pretorius, Bjorn Fontaine, Junior Dala, Lutus Apamla, and Tabraiz Shamsie. Some names that will be familiar: Pechlakwaya, Shamsie, possibly Claassen and Miller are guys who would arguably make a first team squad, first team nonetheless, whether all the other big names were around. But some guys we weren't so familiar with, I thought they played really, really well. Look, Rizwan had a day out, 104 not out, after just scoring a ton in a test match shows that he's seeing the ball like a basketball. And their spinners bowled really well. It's a tale as old as time as far as South African cricket is concerned. But I thought the guys gave a really good account of themselves. I tweeted that the hyperbolic reactions from fans and some journalists, before every journalist gets touched by my comments, I thought they did really well. I didn't really understand what all the doom and gloom was about.
I keep talking about this thing. South African fans and people, we love winning. We want to win all the time. And in sport, you talk about processes. And for me, like I said earlier, I love the fact that a lot of the franchise players have been an opportunity. I think it's important to continue expanding your pool of players. And sometimes it's going to be difficult. You have to take some losses. And of course, no cricketer, no international player goes into a match looking to lose it or has the excuse, because we're a young side, we expected to lose. I think those guys definitely showed how good they are. I mean, I was impressed by Yanerman Malan, how he's come through a difficult Momentum Cup. And in the back end of the Momentum Cup, started scoring some runs, and you could see that he's taken that form into international cricket. And that's exactly what we want. We want competition for positions. And that's what he's already creating in that position. We've got Quinton de Kock, who's guaranteed to go to the World Cup. We're not sure who's going to be Quinton de Kock's opening partner. And right now, guys are putting their hands up. You've got Yanerman Malan, who put his hand up. Reza, I thought, was fantastic after Yanerman Malan lost his wicket. And that's exactly what you want. I mean, you want competition for places. The one question that I always have is, I think we have a Temba at three. I think he needs competition at three. You have a four. This year at the moment, he will need competition as well, and a five. Those are the positions for me that I do believe someone needs to put their hand up. I do believe we need competition from three to five. I don't know if that's going to mean that other conversation of AB might come back, you know, that might happen. And I do believe we have plenty of opening batters in this country at the moment. You've got Malan, you've got Rickleton, who hasn't had a chance yet. You have Reza, who stood up again. So I think the opening earth position has a lot of competition, and I like that. And guys will continue putting pressure on whoever is opening the batting, and you take whoever is in form. And that's the type of competition you want in your, top order positions as well. And of course, there's also going to be a question mark around your six to eight positions. And that's where, again, we need healthy competition amongst the players. And there is one guy for me who's still showing glimpses that he can come from domestic cricket and straight into that platform. Delano Pokita, I don't know if you've heard of him. He's been absolutely fantastic for the Lions. He bats six or seven. I think will be a quality finisher as well for the Proteas. So there are names that a lot of people won't have or know, but it's that type of healthy competition that we need in our teams. And that can only happen when guys get exposure to that level. And for me, like, I'm really, really happy to see these guys. And I'm fine with a couple of losses in giving these guys opportunities to have a taste of international cricket.
100%. 100%. A lot of people gave Jacques Snyman stick for failing to read Usman Kadir. And look, it didn't look good. But when was the last time he's faced a wrist spinner? You know, we of this quality, you know, there is a dramatic dearth of wrist spinners in South African domestic cricket. Perhaps that is an argument in favor of increasing franchises to the provincial structure, because more teams means more opportunity for that wrist spinner who's perhaps getting kept out of the side by Tabraiz or Eddie, someone like Eddie Lee, for example, whatever. Or maybe Eddie's not getting enough game time. He can go to a smaller, smaller union and get more game time. So we increase exposure to these sorts of players, and we want guys to be ready made. I think that's a real blight on our fandom. I know that there's some intelligent fans out there, and I certainly don't claim to be more intelligent than the average man. And when I look on Twitter, I do actually mostly see a measured response. But, you know, it's almost like the empty vessels make the most noise, so we have to address them. But how do we expect a guy like Jacques Snyman to to be someone who look, I don't think he's going to be going to the World Cup, but how do we know that he's not going to be going to the World Cup? I mean, he might still be, but how do we know that he's not a guy who could walk into a World Cup semi-final and take on India's wrist spinners and win us a game in unlikely circumstances if he doesn't go out and fail? You know, you talk about what has plagued South African cricket for so long, since forever, since perhaps 1996 when Brian Lara did what he did to us, is that fear of failure?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, let's also be clear. Jacques Leyman opens the batting for the Knights, and he did come in at three. These are one of the things that I never agree about with our team. I mean, I it's unfortunate sometimes I always use England and Indians in terms of the guys that are, for example, the guys that open, they must compete with each other, and you pick the best two all the time. And you need to give the guy the opportunity. Yes, you've done well to get to the protest, but give him an opportunity of where he is accustomed at. And some people might not know that Jacques Leyman opens the batting, usually faces seam bowlers up front, and by the time he gets to a spinner, he's probably on fit and he's feeling different about himself. That's an important one. I'm not saying that Jacques Leyman can't play spin. It's just that might struggle to start against spin. And these are the things, and again, Usman Khedira was absolutely class yesterday. I have to say, for me, he looks, he's so good.
Class, so he was so good. He better batsmen would have looked poor against that. You know, as if picking a well disguised googly is just something that anyone can do. It's hard.
Exactly.
It's hard to do that.
And I think, I mean, for someone who's starting as an international cricket as well, playing in Pakistan, first time outside of his country, I think again we need to be careful of almost like destroying a guy as he's starting his international career, because I think there's great experience there. I think what he offers South African cricket in terms of his power up top, I think is the reason why he got the opportunity. Yes, he hasn't had a lot of franchise experience, but in terms of what he offers with his firepower up top, I can see why he's there. I can see what Boucher is looking for, because we need, I mean, South Africa, when I saw a stat in terms of the teams in the power play, I think we're in the middle in terms, I think it's around 7 point something, which is not the greatest. When you look at your India, England, you know, 8 point something, that's, you could see what South Africa are looking. They're looking for more firepower up top to start competing with your best sides in world cricket. And you can't, all of a sudden, I mean, we've seen the brand that's been played all around the world now. A lot of teams are positive. They're taking the pressures to the bowlers early doors. And we can't be this team that's completely going our own way and looking to play the brand that we used to play in the 90s and thinking that's all of a sudden going to win World Cups. So I understand the process. But again, we've got to give the guy an opportunity, and unfortunately, to fail and understand what's it like to be at that level. And again, as fans, as people who love the game, we need to be more patient. I think it's also a responsibility of the administrators and all that to convey the message. These guys are not there to, of course, have an easy path, a pass of just playing Pakistan and being told they can lose. But of course, what is the process? The process is for them to, of course, win if they can, but also there's a lot of learnings that need to happen. And we gain 5 players from this tour to our wider pool of players for the World Cup, I think we've done a fantastic job. And that's what I'm looking forward to. And I honestly was happy to have seen them compete. I thought the energy was fantastic on the field. Started with Bjorn in the run out, the catch in the deep by Jacques Leyman. Those are the things that some people thought was lacking in the test leg of things. And you could see the energy that they brought into the, and it felt like, you know, I didn't feel at all it was a young South African team or franchise or whatever. It just felt like a South African team. That's how South African team usually are. And that's exactly what we can take from it. So yes, you were looking for improvements in the second game. I think we can step up to more. I think, you know, your senior players, especially Miller, I think there's been more responsibility on them. And I think playing certain situations better, I think it gets us over the line. I think the Pakistanis didn't expect us to be that good, to be honest. And I think they were caught.
No, I don't think I don't think many of our fans expected us to be that good. And you know what? There are plenty of positive stakes. I was kind of low-key dreading this T20 series because I thought they were on a hiding to nothing. I thought, what is the point of sending our second stringers against a good Pakistan team? Let's not forget how good this Pakistan team is at T20 cricket. They've got a really strong Pakistan Super League that hones their players where they bring in international cricketers, and it shows the value of having a really strong T20 franchise tournament. But I think full credit to the young guys, less experienced guys, I should say. And, you know, a lot of people were touched when Harsha Bogle, I don't know how to pronounce his name properly, please forgive me. I know tweeted that South Africa lacked depth and lacked talent. And I think a lot of people were like somewhat touched, but also like, oh, shit, maybe he's right, you know? Because I wanted to get on my keyboard and I wanted to rebuff him with all the names that we filled with. And I was like, oh, I don't know if these guys are actually that good. You know, we can't say with any certainty. And I think this match proved that there's depth. And if they got and they win the next one or they put up another showing, I think they're gonna silence a lot of people. But listen, Nons, let's wrap that up there. We didn't even get onto under 19 stuff. That video of Rietzka.
Yes, the one who's they call Baby AB, I think.
Baby AB. Oh my goodness! I must have watched that video of him walking down the track and playing a lofted drive on one knee. Yeah. I must have watched that about 30 times. It is quite delicious. But listen, let's cut it there. We've been rambling long enough. Nons, just remind the good people where they can catch you on social.
Yeah, NZP10 on Twitter, and I think you'll be seeing more and more of us as there's more cricket on our screen. So we'll be chatting our way and talking everything that's happening in all these matches.
Well, thanks, Nons. Now, once again, we are over promising, and this time, hopefully, we over deliver, not under deliver. Sorry, we didn't. we weren't on top of the daily shows. If you're still listening to us, that one listener who subtly criticized us on Twitter. We see you. It's COVID, you know, life gets in the way, but we're back and we're thrilled and we'll catch you next time.
Shout for LBW. Oh, he's got him. That's well run. Or is it? Oh, a fielder. That's out. That's got to be out. That's beautifully done.
What a great hit. That's unbelievable. That is sensational. Now, this will be interesting.
Short, fine legs.